We're going to enjoy the study back in Revelation. The opportunities that we have in searching the Word, and we're going to be in Revelation, then back in the second chapter of Daniel, and then the seventh chapter of Daniel, and then the ninth chapter of Daniel this morning. And so you might want to put your hand in the book of Daniel if you'd like to, because that way you can turn to it fairly quickly. And if you're an expert of the Bible, why, you can wait and do it a little later. But Daniel chapter 2 is where we're going to start. And so we're going to begin reading today in Revelation chapter 6, and we're going to read down through the fourth verse. And a little bit of review, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in Revelation, because we've had a couple of two weeks concerning the Christmas message, and then we had the program last week. And so we're going to review just a little bit. And Revelation chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for the singing. Thank you for these folks that have come to hear your word today. Please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us through these precious scriptures here and back in Daniel. We need, Father, for your direction, and we just thank and praise you as a born-again believer that the Holy Spirit is within my heart to lead me and to guide me and to give me the wisdom and truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you for that opportunity, of which every believer has the same, for us all to learn together and to grow together. So please just guide and lead us. And once again, I ask, Father, that there's folks here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior. They're depending upon their old church or their old baptism or their old confirmation, and that's good enough. It's not. We need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and sent then or guided then to your Son Jesus for salvation. And that's a time that takes place, and it's a time we never forget. And so please that you just touch every heart that's here. Bring them to salvation and then begin to grow us, Father, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've talked about in the past that the church today has not become a place of security. It has not become a place of comfort. It's not become a place of joy. It has become a place of corruptness and wickedness when it comes to the church that we see today. Now, that is not the true church, but that is the public church, I guess I would call it today. And the Word of God tells us back in Revelation 3:16. That I will spew you out of my mouth. And that's what's going to happen to all those religious people that have left the Word of God, that have left the truth, and begin to stand upon their own understanding. Instead of the church following and abiding in God's Word, they have taken the word of man. And we know that by rejecting John chapter 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that they will own Revelation 3:16, "I will spew thee out of my mouth." That's the alternative. So if the lost spewed out and the gathering forth, those are the saved. The rapture takes place near the end of chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 4 opens up with after these things. Chapter 5, we find the only one that is capable of opening the seals to finish the work that has been put into place. And chapter 6 begins the prophecy. And as we've said in the past, that there are three different series of judgment, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and then the vials of wrath that God is going to pour out. This judgment takes place between the gathering of the true church, the rapture of the church, and the time when we come back with the church to bring the final judgment at the Battle of Armageddon. This is Daniel's 70th week of prophecy that he prophesies, a period of 7 years. Now, we're going back to the book of Daniel. This prophecy is approximately 500 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and approximately 600 years before John records this here in Revelation for us. And so we are 600 years prior to this time, and we're going to Daniel chapter 2. Again, this is the 70th week. And the 70th week stands for 7 days or 7 years. So we can call these week years, if you'd like to use that term, because that's what it's set upon. It's week years. So we go to 1 week, that is equal to 7 years. I hope everybody is with me here, because the 70th week, that week equals the 7 years of tribulation that we're talking about here and beginning in this 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. And so with that in mind, go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 31. Now we're going to go back here a little bit because we've got to get to that little horn. In order to get to the little horn, we've got to go through Babylon to get there. And so Daniel chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 31. And it says, "Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, and the brass, and the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth." Now, in reading that one text here, we need to realize and see that we have the gold, and then we have the breast and the arms, the belly and the thighs, the legs of iron, and then the feet and the toes of part of iron, part of clay. So as we see and to look at these scripture verses here, I need you to understand that the gold, and Daniel was giving this to Nebuchadnezzar. The gold stands for Nebuchadnezzar, the great leader of Babylon. The breastplate and the arms, it's silver, stands for the Medes and the Persians. That's who followed Nebuchadnezzar. And following that, we have the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great. That was brass, the belly and the thighs. And then the legs of iron we find is the Roman Empire. And it was always believed it's divided into the eastern and the western part. So we begin now a review for you. Nebuchadnezzar is the gold. That's who Daniel was talking to. That was Babylon. Next is the Medes and Persians. That's silver. Next is the brass, the Grecian kingdom, by and under Alexander the Great. And next is the legs of iron, the Roman Empire. Then we have beyond that the feet and the toes. And they were part of iron and part of clay. And they represent the 10 nations that come out of the Roman Empire. So we have the Babylonian Empire. The Medes and Persians are next. The Grecians are next. The Roman Empire is next. And so we can understand, because they were taken into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar. They were released under the Medes and the Persians. And then under the Lord Jesus' time when he lived on earth, they were under the Roman Empire at that time. And then we find the dividing of that, the 10 nations coming out of the Roman Empire and as the Roman Empire fell apart. And that's the feet and the toes is represented there. Then the most important part is the stone that was cut out. The stone that was cut out without hands. This stone cut out of this mountain is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that comes with power and strength. So I want you to see those things. Now, we're going to add to this story. Let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verses 3 through 7. Daniel has an awful lot to say about the work in Revelation concerning the tribulation. Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to go from verse 3 through verse 7. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and was made to stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given it. Verse 5. Behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it, and they had thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Next, verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and the dominion was given it. And now, verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. 10 horns. All right, let's add to the story over here now. Let's go back to the head, the gold, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. That's the lion. We got the same story here. We got the same story. So Daniel here is giving a second side to it. And so now we have the head, the gold, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, is the lion. Next is the breast and the arms, the silver, the Medes and Persians, is the bear. The third is the belly and the thighs, which is the brass, is the Grecian kingdom under Alexander the Great, and that is the leopard. And then the next is that fourth one, that dreadful and terrible one, legs of iron, the Roman Empire. So now when we looked at this chapter 7, verse 3 through 4, we have the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the great iron teeth and the dreadful and terrible one concerning the Roman Empire. So this is all down through the times, and we are coming now to the close of the 70th week of Daniel. Now all this is in the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so we have went from Nebuchadnezzar, from Babylon, all the way down to the Roman Empire right now. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. Now, I'm sure in studying this, you wonder what any of this has to do with the book of Revelation. We're going to find out. To begin with, Babylon has come and went. The Medes and Persians have come and been defeated and left. The Grecians, under Alexander the Great, have come and left. The Roman Empire was raised up, and it has fallen. So history shows us exactly what Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar in this vision. He is telling them everything that's going on, and the only thing here that's left out is the feet and the toes and the one that was cut out without hands. Everyone that would study this prophecy could see, and I'm talking about New Testament studies, I'm talking about Matthew and Mark, Luke and John, they would know that this has been fulfilled. When Daniel was talking to Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon. Israel was in captivity in Babylon. But you see, as these weeks, these year weeks passed by, proof was made. Nebuchadnezzar fell. The Medes and Persians fell. The Grecians fell. The Roman Empire, never to fall, fell. So you can believe the Word of God. You can believe history. Because when history is brought forward in truth, today our history books have been totally, totally destroyed. They're not even good kindling today for your fire. That's a sad thing. Because they have changed so much of history. But when true history is brought forward, you're going to see this is true. There's no question these things took place. I want you to understand that. The picture of the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the dreadful, terrible one in Daniel chapter 4, verses 7 through 3. Now, to Daniel chapter 7, verse 20. And the 10 horns that were in his head. Now, where do we come up with the 10 horns? Where were these 10 horns? Let's go back and see. Did we find them back in Daniel chapter 7, was that there? Let's see if we can find in Daniel chapter 7, verse 3 through 7 there. Let's see if we can find it. Oh, here, seventh verse. After this I saw the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding, and it had iron teeth to devour and break to pieces and stamp the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Well, that's where we got the 10 horns. Okay, now let's move over to the 20th verse. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, and spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Who are we talking about there? None other than the Antichrist. What made Saul, the very first king, a good king of the nation of Israel? Tall, dark, and handsome. That's exactly right. That was his qualifications. Well, you know, it sounds like that the Antichrist has many of those same qualifications. Eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. On to 21. And I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and the judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. And he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. Verse 24, and the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him, hitherto to the end of the matter. And so we're going to stop there. Understand that we're looking at the Antichrist when it speaks of this individual here. So we've looked at the kingdoms that have come and gone, have been defeated and fallen all the way down to the Roman Empire. And then we find the 10, and out of those 10, one comes out, one comes forth, and that is none other than the Antichrist. Now, one more scripture in Daniel, and then we'll go back to Revelation. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore, to the build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even the terrible sometimes, even in terrible sometimes. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolate are determined. And shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate. Desolation of abomination. Abomination of desolation. Even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. We're going to come back to just verse 26 just for a moment. I know there's a lot of things to read and to understand and to see. But after this three score and two weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Daniel speaks of the crucifixion. He tells us of the crucifixion. This is a tremendous story. So please go back and we'll continue now. I want you to see the plan that God had put into place back in Daniel concerning each one of these kingdoms as they were raised up mightier than the last to fall, and lifted up mightier than the last and to fall, all the way down to the Roman Empire. And then when the Roman Empire came into place, and we find that as the one that was cut out without hands crushed them all. You think about what Daniel was telling Nebuchadnezzar. He was standing before the great and mighty king, telling him such a message. Such a message. And so, a lot of things there. I wanted to go back. Bring any questions back that you may have this evening, because we can even talk about it some more tonight if you'd like to, in understanding what Daniel is saying there. And so this is Daniel's 70th week of prophecy, a period of 7 years. That's where we find ourselves right here in Revelation. So let's go back now to Revelation chapter 6. We have found that little horn that comes up is going to be the Antichrist. And the judgments do not take place at the same time, but one after another. The first half is 3.5 years will seem to be mild, because we even find here the white horse and him that is on it. And as we look at that second verse of Revelation 6, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on had a bow, but no arrows. So what he did diplomatically. The second 3.5 years will see more suffering on earth than ever has been before. The judgments under these seals serve a very large area, then the trumpets a shorter area but more severe. And again, as we talked last time we were together, take note that the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, opens the seals. An angel is connected with the trumpets, and Jehovah God is connected with the vials. Now, we come back to the point of, I saw and behold a white horse. The day of the Lord has arrived. The voice that calls for John's undivided attention, come and see. Remember, before any of this happens, the church is removed. That is the next event that takes place on our calendar. You know, we have on our calendar birthdays and anniversaries. We have on our calendar Thanksgiving and different holidays and Christmas and Easter. We have all those things on our calendar. But only on God's calendar is the next event for the church. And that is to take it home. Now, we're going to look at a verse of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians. It's a little bit different than we usually read concerning this, but I want you to read it with me or along with me. So let's look to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll give you plenty of time to turn there because I want you to see this. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to begin with the first verse. The day of the Lord. And now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not so shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as for us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the old devil, the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What tremendous verse. But I'm going to back up, because a lot of times, and in reading and studying, you'll believe up here in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there coming a falling away first. That falling away first means a departure first. Now, that can be taken two ways. We leave the Word of God, or we leave as a church. And if you look before the man of sin is revealed, there is a falling away, a departure. Let's go back to the beginning verses. And in the first verse it says, and by our gathering together unto him. And this falling away is not what most people look at it to be, a falling away from the Word of God. It's actually a gathering up. It is a departure. It's us leaving, being in the presence of the Lord. Read it in that context and see what you think. It's probably a little bit different than you've ever been taught. But many believe we will not be here. I believe we will not be here for any part of the tribulation. And I think here is one verse that shows us that. Well, we're back to where we ended last time. I got all the way to the white horse. So, I am successful. We at least didn't, we don't have to start over again. I saw and behold a white horse. We're going to start right there next time. I wondered when and how to bring in Daniel, but I wanted you to see that schedule, because we talk about how that the, you know, where did the Antichrist come from, and we see right there, without question, he is coming out of Rome, and he will be the ruler of Rome. Without question. without question. And so we need to start there, and then we'll build from there and continue. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, take this time and studying your precious word. I ask, Father, that you'll take the words that we've read back in Daniel and in 2 Thessalonians and here in Revelation, and just take those words, Father, and apply them to our hearts, and take your Spirit, guide us through those words, help us to fully and totally understand what we need for today. Because when we start a study of tomorrow, you're going to show us something that we need for tomorrow. That's the joy of your living word. We never, ever will exhaust the truths and the power and the strength and the wisdom that is in this book for us, because it's your precious word, living word. I ask, Father, that those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, they can sit here and think, you know, this didn't make any sense. Well, it was a history lesson, a lesson that was prophesied prior to it ever happening. The only part that Nebuchadnezzar understood of this was that he was in power. And as far as he knew, it was going to stay that way. And yet history has shown us that each item, each country, each time of power has come and went just exactly the way you said it would. And it's the same with our salvation. We come by faith. You save us. It's exactly the way you tell it. Thank you, Father. Don't let anyone here miss that today. Speak to all of our hearts now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.